Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for this moment. We thank you for this flow. God, I thank you that this message that you have given me, the revelation that you have given me, will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. I declare that we have dominion over this city, over this region, and over the nations because of the authority you have given us. And we declare every spirit is subject to us because of your name, and we rejoice that our names are written in your book of life. And so, Father, I thank you that as this word and revelation is poured forth, God, I thank you that you are thinking through my mind because I have the mind of Christ. You are speaking through my lips because I yield them to you. And I thank you that God, I thank you that Jesus gets all the glory, the honor, and the praise, and my expectation, my anticipation, my declaration, and I declare the establishment of signs, wonders, and miracles happening as a result of this word. I declare lives are transformed, God, and when the people who carry out this word, God, that they will see signs following them, signs accompanying them, God, signs for those they interact with, God, supernatural demonstrations, God, occurring as a result of this word. I even thank you right now that even as this prayer is going forth, hosts of heaven are moving and causing things to be in alignment in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You're the Lord of the breakthrough. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So today we're talking about designed for dominion. Designed for dominion. And I can already tell you, everything that the Lord has given me, we probably ain't gonna get through today, but I ain't going nowhere, so it ain't like you ain't gonna get it. Glory. I'm not gonna be distracted by the upload moving the fonts. I am not. Glory to God. So, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Now, last week, Apostle talked about how we are called to rule and reign, not just manage and make do. And when Apostle told me his title, I was like, man, that's good. And he was like, yeah, this is thought that Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I was like, yes. Because at the same time, Holy Spirit has spoke to me this phrase, designed by dominion. And he said, we are destined to dominate. And the very same scripture that Apostle started us out from last week in Genesis chapter 1 is the exact same passage Holy Spirit took me to when he spoke this phrase. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And I'm going to read from this one from the King James. And I don't want you to be, don't listen to this as if it's familiar, because we all know this passage. We've all read this passage probably numerous times. But I want you to look at it from the place that we have been elevated to in this moment, in this place that we are staying in and living from in this moment. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. Say dominion. Dominion. Say dominion. Hallelujah. It says, over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit were having a conversation after they made heaven and the heavens. So every realm and dimension of heaven. And then after they made the earth, after they made the animals, God said, let's make man in our image. Which one proves the fact that man is not an evolved species, but man is a designed species. And I make that point, one, as a former educator. So you parents, y'all got to be on these teachers that are forced to teach about evolution. And then two, so we can understand, just because animals have similar organs doesn't mean I evolved from one. It just means that God used similar parts. And it also means, too, that there is an image that animals are made from that's totally different than the image God is made from. And so when people try to worship images that look like animals, they are worshiping a deity that looks, that is shaped after the fashion of something that's not even fashioned after God. The only beings in creation that are fashioned after God's image is mankind, which is why Satan hates mankind, which is why he tries to cause confusion and have mankind fighting each other through the spirit of racism, through these all these other spirits, through wars, through classism, through power struggles, and everything else that's going on in the culture. It's a part of Satan's demonic assignment to get man to kill each other because he hates us. But I'm cool with that because I ain't feeling him either. And I have learned to not to be scared of the enemy or darkness. A lot of believers operate in a place where they're scared of the devil. They're scared of demons. And they say, ooh, don't say his name. He gonna hear you. I don't care if he hears me because he already knows me because of the authority I walk in. Just like they said about to the seven sons of Sceva. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? How did they know Paul? Because Paul's relationship with God and the level of dominion he exercised. So a lot of people, and the enemy does that through these horror movies, suspense movies, and all of that to plant seeds of fear. So when these demons have tantrums and flick lights and make things shake, folks get scared and want to run. Instead of saying, you get up out of here. And then people are so fascinated in the deliverance world about this thing that they want to ask, have conversations with the demon. What's your name? What's your assignment? Jesus is not into having us interrogate a demon. That's too much TV. The only time in scripture Jesus asked what was the name of a person when he, the name of a demon when he cast it out, was the one time when that person had a legion. And Jesus intentionally asked that question so that we could see, one, that more than one spirit could possess an unbeliever, and we could cast all of them out with the word. We don't have to labor and spit and roll. Now, the labor, spit, and roll comes in if the person just is refusing to let go. So, God has made us in his image after his likeness. Now, the image of God is referring to the resemblance of him, his shadow, or a model after him. So all of mankind is made after a model where our physical attributes is like a shadow of what God looks like. But then the likeness of God is the manner in which he operates and behaves. So man's original intent was designed to not only look like how God looks, but to operate like how God operates and to think how God thinks. That is the place as a kingdom believer. And notice I said kingdom because every Christian has not embraced the kingdom, and every Christian does not believe that they can operate in the place of kingdom, because a lot of Christians think the word church and kingdom is synonymous and means the same thing. Church means ecclesia, governing body. And people have even taken that out of context to mean a building and a 501c3. You can operate, and you will find today, you will operate as the ecclesia, as God's governing body, in your assigned space. Well, I would just say the devil is a liar. Hallelujah. I don't know what you're doing with the camera, Val, but I'm about to step off screen or something. Or you know what? Can somebody grab this for me? George, thank you. I'm gonna let a guy grab it. Thank you. So, no interruptions from the enemy. And so in your assignment, you have the opportunity to be the ecclesia and to demonstrate the kingdom where you go. That is how you are living out being the church. And then God has established gathering places for the ecclesia to come, to be equipped, and then to take that equipping and operate under that anointing of the fivefold equippers from the gathering place and operate it in their assigned sphere. This is not the only place you should be giving a prophetic word. And you don't have to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And you don't have to walk in the office of a prophet to do it. The scripture says we all will prophesy when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon all flesh, and Holy Spirit has already been poured out, which is part of the reason why we have to catch ourselves when we say certain things to Holy Spirit. We have to talk to him like he's already here, because he is. He's not far from us. Now, in verse 27, it says, "And God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created he him, male and female created he them." Highlighting verse 27, that last word says them. So a lot of people right now are talking about feminine energy and masculine energy and all of these things inside of one individual. Now, we know we're made in the image of God, and we know that scientifically, the development of certain hormones and things decipher the difference between genders. But it says them, meaning that there was a separation between male and female. The enemy would try to bring confusion in this area to keep people from operating in their divine design and have them walking in a place where they cannot exercise dominion because they're confused about who they are on the natural level. And then would tell you you're not tolerant if you don't ask someone what their pronoun is. And even recently, the Biden administration is trying to roll back Title IX or Title X funding to schools that ties into sexual harassment. And they're trying to deem it as sexual harassment if you don't ask somebody their pronoun. And I say that's foolishness. And that is a work of the devil. Now, if somebody wants to soundbite me, let me be clear, because I don't care about those trolls online either. Now, I didn't say Biden was the devil. I said that work was the work of the devil. Biden has to be interceded for to be delivered from demonic influence. And I don't pray for him to prosper except in the thing that comes from God. I pray for him to be delivered from demonic influence. I want the purposes of God to prosper. That's how we pray for people in authority. If the person in authority is not hearing God, I'm not blessing them. In that sense, I'm praying that the blessing is the removal of darkness in their lives and in their hearts, and that they will lead from a place of alignment with God. And so, and it says that God bless them, talking about male and female. And God said unto them, male and female, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He told, look, the blessing is already on mankind. And I know some people like, but even as unsaved too, I'm about to get to that. And so the blessing is on mankind, the original intent of God, for us to be fruitful, meaning that we will produce something that is meaningful and have impact that will continue to produce. When I look at a piece of fruit, I take an apple seed, it grows into an apple tree and produces more apples, which produces more seed. So in us and on us is the ability to release and produce something in the marketplace, in the spheres of influence that will continue to produce, and most business people call it residual income. Now, I told you this morning, God said to me that this would be more like a strategy session than a typical Sunday, so I hope you're taking notes, because you are getting a mix of prophet, pastor, business coach, and leadership developer all at once. So, and then he says, multiply, meaning to expand what you're doing. So produce something, then expand. Now, a lot of times people are getting vision and ideas from God and they're trying to expand before they even have produced. You gotta hush it with that. You can't do that. It's out of order. In order to have dominion, you have to produce, then expand, then replenish, which means refill, and subdue, and have dominion. Notice he says have. Dominion we received from God. I don't have to try to make myself have dominion. I just have to receive it and walk in it because it comes from God. I don't have to try to force people to listen to me, force people to like me, because my dominion comes from God. While I need to treat people right, and while I need to connect with people to influence them to accept what God is inviting them into, I don't have to bow down or small myself up to fit into a situation or somebody's opinion of what they think I should and shouldn't be doing. And leadership is influence, and so I'm going to just tell you that you all are influencers because you are ambassadors for Christ. With the title or without a title, it doesn't matter, because you can influence the people with the title. That's why you're there, because you have the God solution. And so when we have dominion, we do not have to put a lid on our ability to influence people out of concern of what they would think about us. We do not have to small down the expression of the dominion of God to fit a climate that we are in. I just want to fit in and go with the flow. What if you're trying to go with the flow and God is calling you to be a disruptor? What if you're trying to fit in when God is trying to get you to enlarge and shift some things? You're like, I don't want to start confusion. It's already confusing there. So maybe God just wants you to bring some peace. And sometimes in order to bring peace in a chaotic situation, you have to dismantle and disrupt and destroy and tear down before you can build. Notice what God said to Jeremiah when he said, I called you to be a prophet. He said to tear down and then build up. You can't build on shaky foundation. And sometimes God will send us into a place that's already shaky so we can build, so we can tear down and build. Hallelujah. Then it says God saw that what he made and it was very good. See, many people think about mankind. They think about the fallen state of man. They think about man in sense of man is sinful. You know, the number six is the number of man. That's fleshly. Others think of mankind through the eyes of redemption and the finished work of the cross. They say, oh, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. While those are true realities, but they're not the reality that God wants us to live from. Yes, mankind has fallen, but God doesn't see believers as fallen mankind. Yes, we were sinners saved by grace. You can't be a sinner still saved by grace. I'm sorry. That's an oxymoron, because sinner means you're not in alignment with God. So that's just a wrong phrasing. That's tradition that put that out there. And the scripture, we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Notice the word says have. That's why we got to closely read the scripture. We have, meaning past tense. We do not have to fall short of the glory of God now, because that was in the past. That was before Christ. People fell short of the glory when they were trying to do the works of the law. They fell short of the glory when they tried to live outside of relationship with Jesus. But in Christ, I do not fall short of the glory, because it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. And so I am designed to not fall short. I am designed to be accurate with God. I am designed to not have to guess at what God is saying to me. I just have to block out the noise. And a lot of people, and I heard Val say this once before, a lot of people talking about, but I'm just human. I make mistakes. Yes, you make mistakes, and you might make a mistake, but the goal is to walk with God to the point where you don't make one, because you're not only human. We just saw in Genesis 1 what we are. We are designed after the image and the manner and likeness and behavior of God himself, and God is not a human. He's God, and his seed is in me, his spirit is in me, and so I am not human, I am living a human experience, which is different. And when I leave, I'll be living I don't want to say a 10x version, but a increased magnified version of a supernatural experience. So we must look beyond redemption to what we have been redeemed to. The original intent of God, the supernatural design. Jesus brought us back to the natural and spiritual place of exercising dominion, ruling, and reigning. While we must be grateful for salvation, we honor God more, and he gets the greater glory out of our lives when we embrace our identity in Christ and actively engage in the fulfillment of purpose and destiny. We can be grateful for salvation, but he gets greater glory when we embrace who we are in him and walk out purpose and destiny. Everybody wants to give God glory, give God glory. Give him glory by walking out your purpose and destiny and knowing who you are. Now let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. Hallelujah. It says this, and I'm reading this from the New American Standard. It says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven, now no shrub of the field was yet in the earth. No plant of the field had yet sprouted. For the Lord God had not sent rain upon the earth, and there is no man to cultivate the ground. Look at this. It says, in the day it was made, nothing sprouted or bore fruit because there wasn't a person there to cultivate it. Is it possible? Well, let me say this. Some things did not experience growth because there was no rain. We see that, right? And then there was no rain because God had not released the rain. So we see the cause of no rain. Nothing grew because there was no rain, cause and effect. But the reason why there was no rain is because God didn't send it, right? Cause and effect. And then we see that God didn't send the rain or release the rain because there wasn't a person to cultivate. So when there's a person to cultivate, God can release the rain. And then the rain can cause things to sprout and grow. A lot of people are saying send the rain, but they need to be saying, am I in assignment? Am I in alignment with my assignment to cultivate? Because I need to be there to cultivate so that the rain can come and cause things to sprout. Now, if we are not positioned in the sphere of influence that God has called us to be in, God can't send the rain in that area. Because there isn't an ambassador, a member of the ecclesia there, to cultivate the rain, to steward the move of God. You guys getting this? I know it's a little deep. I know you guys are hearing it for the first time, and I'm hearing it for like the fifth time. So, is it possible that God will not release some things into the earth until we are in position to execute his purposes and plans? Is it possible that while believers have retreated from certain industries saying they were of the devil, that they forfeited their space of dominion and allowed it to be taken by the enemy? Because people said that we gotta come out from among them, not recognizing that God, when he said come out from among them, he was talking about lifestyle and agreement, not come out of the position. Some people stopped doing music in the non-Christian genre. Some people were leaving businesses. Some people were moving out of communities because they said the devil was in it. And I'm only going to do Christian stuff. Well, God may call some people to only do Christian, but God is also calling believers to be in these non-Christian environments. How can you be the light in darkness when you are in a room full of other lights? How can you minister to people behind the closed doors if you're not there to build a relationship? See, that's where the traditional church has messed up, because what they have done is retreated from spheres of influence, given them over to the enemy by happenstance, and then want to stand outside of that sphere of influence and judge folks. You wrong. You going to hell. That's wrong. Instead of staying right up in there and like, look, I'm going to just tell you like Jesus would tell you. I love you, but I ain't on your foolishness. Don't ask me to agree with your lifestyle. Don't ask me to agree with what you're saying. This is what God is saying, or this is where I stand, and I'm still going to love you anyway. Because love does not mean agreement. Disagreement does not mean intolerance like our culture would try to tell us. I was on a panel for a virtual school conference, and right after I registered and got accepted to be on the conference, I felt this funny feeling in my spirit. And I remember telling Val, I feel something funny. I wonder if I should pull out of this conference. But I was like, no, I got to honor my word as a business owner and just as a believer. I committed to speaking at this conference and being on their panel. But I'm like, something is off. I just feel something off. So I was asking Holy Spirit, what is it? What is it? What is it? What is it? And so now I'm on the virtual panel, which is talking about school culture, because the session I was leading about was how you lead a culture shift in a school. And so that was like, so Monday was the panel. Tuesday was me being my own session. So Monday I'm sitting on this panel and I'm sitting there with the three moderators and I'm sitting there with a professor who teaches at a principal preparation program at the collegiate level. And then I'm sitting there with two other teachers. Both of them identify with the LGBTQ plus lifestyle. And so I knew right then, I'm like, okay, I'm not here to judge nobody or to get in a debate about somebody's lifestyle choice, but I am gonna speak the word. They don't know me, I don't know them, so I'm not gonna be judgmental and offensive, but I'm not gonna be cowardly either. So I'm sitting there, and they're nice people, real cool people, for real, for real. And so we're having this discussion about culture. They're saying what they're saying. I'm saying what I'm saying. And I talked about igniting hope and joy in school cultures. I was like, right now, teachers don't need another thing to do. They don't need another program. They need some fun back into teaching. And so I started talking as the Holy Spirit led. And they were like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then this professor who teaches school leaders to get their certification program tries to tie what she's thinking to what I said. That would have been okay if she wouldn't have came with some new agey type stuff. So she began to say, yes, schools need to be centers of healing. And I'm like, that's true. I did a video podcast about how to create a healing environment. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then she says, in order to educate the whole child, we must think about nurturing their spiritual being. I was like, wait a minute, what'd you say? And then she says, education is the next frontier of spiritualism. I said, pump the brakes. I said, the only one qualified, and her reasoning was, it would help kids know their purpose and destiny. And so I said, the only one qualified to teach children about purpose and destiny is their parents and the one they submit to learn about God. I said, you cannot learn purpose without knowing about God. And I said, no educator that I don't trust an educator's spiritual life to be telling my kid about anything spiritual. And that's not the responsibility of education. Education is to teach reading, math, history, and science, technology, art, and music, physical education, and to help them develop their skill sets to fulfill purpose and destiny. The discovery of purpose and destiny is based upon their relationship with God and the assignment of the parent. I say, we are not the parent. Not the mama. And so then, you know, of course she responded. It was like, well, you should check out the work of somebody named Peter Drucker. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do research on him because I'm going to put his work on blast all on social media too, as in not being correct. And so I say that to say, if we don't know who we are, someone else would define who we are. And in these spaces, we have to be confident to exercise dominion and to speak up without shrinking back or worrying about offending someone. God will give us the words in the moment to say in a way that clearly exercises our authority without offense. And if they take offense, sorry for your luck. I'm not going to apologize for saying you not teaching my child nothing about spiritualism. And in fact, I'm going to have a bunch of sessions that expose those spiritualist teachings while you're playing. And I'm going to equip educators to know what they are and to operate from a kingdom perspective. So while you're playing, I'm going to run a five-day challenge right after that to really thwart your plan. See, the enemy messed up when he started exposing his hand. Which is why we need to be positioned in these spheres of influence. Now, I'm going to read one more psalm because my time is up. So Psalm, one more scripture because my time is up. In Psalms chapter 8, verse 3. Because here is the thing, we have to recognize who we are so we can operate how God desires for us to operate. We cannot small up, shrink up, or be less than what God has called us to be and expect to get the results that God wants us to have. We can't operate at a lower level but expect high level results. It doesn't happen that way. So Psalms chapter 8 verse 3 says, when I think about your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars in which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him and the son of man that you care about him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God. Now, this is translated correctly because the King James says angels, but that Hebrew word is Elohim, which means God. See, a lot of people have been operating, think I'm a little lower than the angels. No, you are a little lower than God. The only authority higher than the one that God has given us is God himself. So we are been designed a little lower than God, and we are crowned with glory and majesty. It says you make him rule over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. He made us rule over the works of God's hands. Everything God has made, we have rulership and dominion over. Everything. That's the earth, the elements of the earth, everything. And that includes space. I don't mean to blow your mind, but space too, because God made it. It's the works of his hands. And some folks are scared to rebuke a tornado. Some folks are scared to call a leg to grow. We have dominion over the works of God's hands. Because I have dominion, I can speak to the bone in somebody's body and tell it to straighten up. I can tell a tornado, no, not today, bro. Hallelujah. Hey, the first thing, if I hear about somebody passing away, I'm asking God, do you want me to get them up? And if he say, no, they cool, they want to stay up here, I'm like, okay, I'm good. Because some folks see heaven and be like, I ain't going back. Nope, don't send me back. And Jesus be like, it's not your time, go back. And they be like, no. Hallelujah. So we have rule over the works of the hands, and it says, you have put, or God has put, all things under his feet, that his being our feet. The you meaning God. So it's meaning God has put all things under whose feet? Our feet. So the thing that's been trying to trouble you is really under your feet. And the natural perception is that this thing is bigger than it actually is, or that it's more challenging than it actually is, when actually it's under. I step on it. Now, it's time to go because I gave myself 5 extra minutes and then that timer just went off too. And so I'm not going to like have that type of anointing where I keep you for 60 minutes. So let me give you some strategy. Now, I'm going to say these real quick. To activate dominion, Here are 1, 2, 3, 4 things to activate dominion. Real quick. Number one, cultivate your relationship with God. And that's based on Acts. Number two, you must have faith in the name of Jesus. Because dominion is based upon your faith and your exercising of the power that's in the name Jesus. That's why spiritualism will accept Jesus as a prophet and everything else except for him being Christ. You must receive Holy Spirit and believe that he works signs and wonders through you. Stop asking God for a miracle and start asking him, when can we work a miracle? Whatever supernatural intervention you need, God is going to do that because of his covenant. You are the miracle worker. Well, we know Jesus is the miracle worker, but he said the same things I do, you would do. So if the same miracle working Jesus, power that's in Jesus, and the same miracle working Jesus is in us, that means I'm miracle working with Jesus. Now, the next thing, receive Holy Spirit and believe that, I said that, he works signs through you, and then pray in the Spirit as often as you can. Paul said in Corinthians that, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all y'all. Some of us neglect praying in the Spirit and never tapping past the natural mind or the natural perspective and are missing what God is releasing. So, I'll say those again real quick. Cultivate your relationship with God. Exercise your faith in the name of Jesus. Receive the power of Holy Spirit and believe that he will work signs through you. And pray in the Spirit as often as you can. Now, how does that look in the marketplace? I'm going to give you 5 more things. I told you this was a strategy session. 5 more pieces of strategy. 1, accept your godly assignment. Too many people are in the marketplace and don't recognize that they're on assignment. You can't get in alignment with God in the marketplace when you don't even recognize or accept the assignment. You need to be in alignment with your assignment. And before you can do that, you gotta accept it. Number 2, assess the climate and the culture where he has assigned you to. So before you go in and do anything, assess it. Allow Holy Spirit to speak to you about what's going on in that place or in that industry if you're a business owner. And don't be fooled by what I call an artificial culture, which is like some plants, they look real, but when you touch them, they ain't the real thing. So don't be fooled by the surface artificial culture. Allow Holy Spirit to help you see what's really going on. Number 3, get strategy now from Holy Spirit based upon what you saw as to how you are to demonstrate the kingdom and bring his solution to shift the current conditions. And don't overthink it. A lot of people are praying for strategy and been praying for strategy for years, but never acting on anything. Sooner or later, you have to act on the part you heard because he will continuously reveal the rest of it. Sometimes people like me that are strategy minded, I want to have the whole blueprint before I act out anything. But could it be every once in a while God is like, look, all I'm going to give you is this one grape, and then you get the whole vine after you get the grape? So don't overthink it. Just do it. And don't try to do perfect. Just do it. Excellence is different than perfect. And then, number 4, access the power of God that's already been released so you don't have to ask him to send it. Access what's been released. Then you send the host of heavens on a specific assignment. You forbid the demonic, you release the glory, and you do all of that through decrees daily. So in your daily decree, you should be accessing the power of God, forbidding demonic activity, releasing the host, and releasing the glory of God before you even physically get to the location.
so that the spiritual atmosphere is already ready. Host of heaven are already doing the thing. The enemy already can't step foot. And then number five, you got to take action. Too many people stop at prayer. You got to do something to advance the kingdom. We are the ecclesia in the earth, so we actually have to be the ecclesia, not the witnesses. The cloud of witnesses are the people who are watching from heaven because they did their thing, but we're trying to be a cloud of witnesses in the earth, just watching stuff happen, talking about we're waiting on the Lord. Stop waiting on God and start moving with God. A swift move of God requires swift obedience. Hallelujah. And I'm going to stop there. Y'all can get the rest next time. Glory to God. But I wanted to give you those strategies so you can implement them tomorrow.